When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. The proposal. Our ultimate goal in reading the Bible is that God's infinite worth and beauty would be exalted in the everlasting, white-hot worship of the blood-bought bride of Christ from every people, language, tribe, and nation. This implies that we should always read His Word in order to see this supreme worth and beauty. Bring the books, and above all, the parchments. The Apostle Paul breathed the air of books. While imprisoned in Rome, he wrote to Timothy and requested his books. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments." Of course, when he says books, he doesn't have in mind the 300-page, finely bound, thin paper books we think of. He lived in the first century. The earliest books, as we think of them, were called codices, stacked sheets of parchment or papyrus, or leather or wood, sewn or bound together to make a book. Before that, longer documents were rolled up in scrolls. No one knows when the first codex was introduced in history. They were not uncommon in the 2nd century AD among Christians. So it's possible that Paul possessed books sewn together like this. Whatever their form, he wanted them with him in prison in Rome. Paul was a Pharisee before his conversion. See Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. That means he was an expert in the written law of Moses. He used the word book to refer to the Mosaic law. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." He once identified himself as a rigorous student of this law with the best training available. In Acts chapter 22, verse 3, it says, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God." Paul's evangelistic strategy was to go to an urban center and start with the Jewish synagogue. This was strategic not only because the Jews had a special place in God's redemptive plan, see Acts chapter 3, verse 26, and Romans chapter 1, verse 16, but also because the synagogue had the holy books that Paul loved and trusted. This was common ground. Every Sabbath, these scriptures were read publicly. Peter had said to the Jerusalem council in Acts chapter 15, verse 21, "From ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he has read every Sabbath in the synagogues." This is what Paul could count on as he entered the synagogue. They would read from the books that he had mastered. He had been a former Pharisee. This experience of dealing with Jewish people who read the books of Scripture every week caused Paul to think deeply about reading. They read the same books that he now read, but they didn't see what he saw. They didn't see the glory of God the way he saw it. And when he showed them the connections between the Old Covenant and the New, they couldn't see the wonder of it the way he did. At this point, it would be illuminating to ask, what did Paul's understanding of this tragedy tell us about the aims of reading? A sweeping and pointed text. One of the most sweeping yet pointed passages about seeing the glory of God through reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 through chapter 4, verse 6. It is sweeping in reaching back across the entire Old Covenant era to the giving of the law.